This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. Dear and honored, respected Sheikh Imam Sheikh Abdul Rahman, dear and honored, respected elders and mothers and fathers, our beloved brothers and sisters, and our innocent youth, I greet you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have the honor of talking about an important development in our community here at the Cape. This development is one which really seeks to galvanize and bolster our spiritual resources, our cultural heritage, our religious assets that really describe who we are as a community, and more particularly here at the Cape. And so it is aptly called the Cape Accord. And so it has its definition and characterization right at the start, when it wishes to bring the attention and focus on its purpose. And it simply says, communities united against hate speech and discord. Communities united against hate speech and discord. Now, there can't be any disagreement to the centrality of such a theme in our faith and in our deen of Islam, that we are not a people that spread hatred, and that we don't have the luxury to be instruments, to be instrumentalized, or to be purveyors, where we are the ones who are responsible for discord. There cannot be any disagreement that the deen of Islam in its entirety, that the Quran in its entirety, that the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in supplementation, in augmentation thereof, of the source, of the first source of the Sharia, the Holy Quran, have as a major theme the unity of the Ummah. And that any project that seeks to undermine that is being left by the Ummah at their peril. And so, as to drill down to all of the details about what is in the accord, I think the first and foremost important point to establish is, what is the vision that drives it? And it is sometimes, perhaps, it could be said, but this is quite axiomatic, it is redundant really to discuss, because it's so clear. And yet, what do we find? We find that the Ummah of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is experiencing in this point in history unprecedented levels of fragmentation, unprecedented levels of factionalization, unprecedented levels of chaos. And all of this is not just by accident. A lot of it, a large part of it, is all by deliberate design. And a big part of it is about the Ummah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lacking the consciousness, the alertness, the awareness, the acute acumen to understand that they're also being played by hostile forces to Islam. And what happens is, we also, by our own hands, play into their hands. Play into the hands of the enemies of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The enemies of haqq, the enemies of truth, the enemies of justice, they hate justice for the poor and the disenfranchised and for the downtrodden. They love to use words such as justice, human rights. They love these words of freedom. They love to use these words when it applies to them. It's not a secret, it should not be a secret to any one of us, that when it comes to the disenfranchised, the downtrodden of the world, the poorest of the world, then let alone freedom, the lives of such segments of the population of the globe are dispensable in the pursuit of their political and their economic agendas. This is the lay of the land. We must not forget what the Allied forces did in 2003 when they invaded Iraq. A land and a country that where there was authoritarianism, yes. But the very people, I have read of a man that became an icon for what it meant at the time for Saddam to have been deposed. He stood with one of these big sledgehammers and he pounded away at the base of one of the statues. And they used that photo to viralize. They interviewed him afterwards. And he says, I yearn that our society can be returned during the time when there was authoritarianism, there was despotism, there was injustice. But to the extent of what we live today, we yearn and we hearken back to those days. This is not in need of being explained. This is axiomatic. This is common knowledge. But sometimes we seem to trivialize things in such a way that we forget the big issues of the preservation of life itself, the preservation of deen itself, the preservation of the dignity and the honor of human beings itself. We forget that and we want to trivialize into things which make us of the most feeble-minded of people in our conversations. My ustad and your ustad, Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qaradawi, he says that if there is one theme in the Quran that ranks secondary only to the unity of Allah. Are you following? He says, if there's one theme in the Holy Quran that ranks secondly only after the unity of Allah, then it is the unity of the Ummah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And so Allah Ta'ala is very clear in the Holy Quran. Wa'tasimu. Allah is very clear. We don't have to ponder about this and reflect. It's of the essentials of the deen that everyone knows. Allah says, Wa'ati'u Allah wa rasulahu wa la tanaza'u fatafshalu wa tadhhaba rihukum wasbiru inna Allah ma'a as-sabirin. And so, obey Allah and His Messenger. And do not fall into dispute and rancor and sectarian factionalism among yourselves. For if you do, فَتَفْشَلُوا, you shall fail. You shall decline. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, and your power shall depart. وَاصْبِرُوا, But be patient with one another. Have patience with one another. Inna Allah ma'a sabirin. For indeed Allah is with those. Allah shall have His nusra for those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine assistance and victory will be with those who do what? Sabiri. But this is against the nafs. The nafs doesn't like this. Because the ego, he goes up there. And then we say, no, but this is Allah's deen that we are fighting for. La ilaha illallah. And so Allah says, لا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة. Something which is evil and something which is good can never be equated. But ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. Repel that thing which is evil, wrong, bad, sin. Repel it with that which is good. You can't repel a sin with a sin just like that sin. By spreading hatred about other people that cause and commit sin. Imam al-Shafi'i says, we did not come here to wipe out people and spread hatred. He said it about people. We have been sent, he says, to nurse and to reform people, not wipe them out. Not wipe them out. We must be the reformers of people. So repel that evil thing with a good thing. ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. Because Allah promises you, فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة فإنه ولي حميم. For indeed that person between yourself and whom there was this enmity and animosity, perchance you shall become the warmest of bosom friends. Allah! Ya salam! وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. And none shall be able to accomplish and achieve and manage that high form of civilized behavior except the one who is endowed with a good measure of sabr. And the one who had been endowed with a good measure of goodness from Allah. We can talk a lot about that theme of the Quran. It is the Quran. But the freedom of conscience is another point which the Accord wants to bring to our attention. And that the human being on this earth, Allah has given them free will. So let us not be arrogating ourselves to a position higher than Allah, that we want to take away the freedom of conscience of that person. Allah gaat met hem deel in die akhira. There's no doubt about that. La ikraha fi ddin. Daar's nie dinge soos dit nie. Walau sha'a rabbuka la'amana man fil ardi kulluhum jami'a. Afa anta tukrihu an-nas ay yakunu hatta yakunu mu'minin. If Allah had willed, then the entire population, the globe's population, all the inhabitants on this entire earth would have been believers, all of them. Are you, O Muhammad, wanting to coerce people to the extent that they become believers? It's not Allah's sunnah on this earth. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ.
Had it been the will of Allah, it's not Allah's will, that you be all one, united onto the heart of one man and one ummah, all of this together, He would have willed that. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ Allah's law is, you have freedom. You have the freedom of belief and conscience. Free will. And so therefore, people shall always disagree. They shall. So, we have to have tolerance. What does tolerance mean? Tolerance means we have to become, in the first instance, a bit less dogmatic. Dogmatism is fear from sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Far. La ilaha illallah. Where we now believe that I've got the haq with me. And unless you see how I see things, you shall suffer my wrath. You shall suffer this wrath. And in the Muslim world today, you shall suffer this wrath too. Because nowhere else, no other people are killing one another to the extent that the statistics show that Muslims are being killed at the hands of Muslims. Is that because there is such a lot of love between us? Is that because we have such a lot of tolerance for one another? Is that because we follow his example when he says, "U'fu man dhalamak"? Overlook the guy who does injustice or harm unto you. وَصِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ And you tie the relations with the one who severs his ties with you. The ego, don't want to hear about stuff like that. But whose manhaj is that? This mufti or that mufti? Manhaj al-Nabawiyya Sharif. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ And do good to the guy that, you know, does bad things with you. And that's not because you are now a doormat. That's because you have moral authority. You have the strength of moral conviction. You have the conviction of your thoughts. And your faith. So the rule of law, I want to say, is in our context as South Africans, a very important thing. Hoe ding ons dat as ons lewe as moslime in 'n nog 'n land waar Islam nie reën nie, dat ons moet die land se wette volg. Hoe ding ons so? As because of the rule of law. In Islam, Islam doesn't want anarchy for society. Islam doesn't want lawlessness. Does it? That is what no gebeur daar. In the context of how the Allied forces in Iraq designed the sectarian hatred and incitement of violence and conflict between Sunnis and Shi'is, was eclipsed by only one other thing. And they, in their memoirs, explicitly say this. They said that they allowed the fall of Saddam to remain in limbo like that, and for the confusion to proliferate to the point where after a week, they announced that no one is in charge. There is no government. There is no law. To turn that dagger in the back of a population
that will now see the rampant anarchy and lawlessness and the effects thereof. The Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of this dogmatism, says to the Amir of an army that he dispatches from Medina, he says to him in a hadith by Burayda ibn al-Husayb, he says to this person, be conscious of Allah pertaining to yourself and those who are with you of the Muslims. And when you approach the fortress, the citadel of the enemy, and you have encircled them, that was the strategy, they would then surround and lay siege to that citadel. This is a hadith by Imam Muslim. He says, إِذَا حَصَرْتَ أَهْلَ حَصْنٍ, if you have now laid siege to the citadel, فَأَرَادُوكَ أَن تَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ ذِمَّةَ اللَّهِ وَذِمَّةَ نَبِيِّهِ فَلَا تَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ ذِمَّةَ اللَّهِ وَلَا ذِمَّةَ نَبِيِّهِ. And they want to ask you for the protection of Allah and the protection of His Nabi, then don't give them Allah and His Nabi's protection. وَلَكِنْ اِجْعَلْ لَهُمْ ذِمَّتَكَ أَنْتَ وَذِمَّةَ أَصْحَابِكَ أَنْتَ. Give them your pact and your covenant that you will grant them protection and amnesty from yourself and from those who are with you of your ashab. Because for you to safeguard your own covenant of protection that you give them is easier to uphold for you. And if you don't uphold it, the consequences are easier on you than for that to be with regards to the dhimma of Allah and His Nabi. Listen further. And when you lay siege to them and they ask you to deal with them in accordance with the hukum of Allah and the hukum of His Rasul, who is this person? This is a Sahabi. This is a person who had been lived and grown up under the manhaj and the direct tarbiyah of Rasulullah. He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, says to him that if they ask you to be dealt with in accordance with the hukum of Allah, then don't you dare tell them that we will give you this and this and that, and that is the hukum of Allah. You tell them that we will deal with you in accordance with our hukum and the way in which we as a group will see it fit to deal with you, because you do not know. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي أَتُصِيبَ حُكْمَ اللَّهِ فِيهِمْ أَمْ لَا. Because you don't know if you are actually applying the hukum of Allah upon them or not. You don't know that. Why? Because when you make your ijtihad of how this value or hukum or ayah in the Quran must be applied into a given context, you don't know if that is what Allah Ta'ala wants you to do in that context. You are interpreting that with your ijtihad in that context. It's application. The hukum is the hukum of Allah. But is your application thereof in accordance with what Allah wants? Is another story. That is a nuance which the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is elevating here. Can we be dogmatic and say that the hukum is just our hukum because we believe that we are saying what Allah is saying? Don't tell me that I shouldn't do this. I am simply doing and simply saying what is the Quran and the Sunnah. Who gave you that khilafat? Are we the Pope that speak in the name of God? The notion of that kind of fairness and justice has many, many connotations, consequences, and ramifications, which was my niyyah to also deal with. But the time is against us. So I ask Maaf that we are not dealing with that. This is the essence of what, allow me to say this, a visiting scholar is about to come to our shores
And a Facebook, WhatsApp poster is going around about a lecture that will be given in Soweto. I was completely distraught when I saw this lecture. This lecture is there being brought from the outside. Somebody who comes from outside is now going to talk to our community in Soweto. Now in Soweto, there's only three masjids. One is a Shia masjid, and two are Sunni masjids. This person is coming from outside, according to this poster. And the poster is subject to confirmation mark. I have called to find out if this is actually so, but I know what is going on. But I phoned. It's subject to confirmation, but I know what is going on. And in this context of Soweto, this person is coming from outside to talk about the evils of Shiism and black magic. Now you tell me, is that idfa' billati hiya ahsan? Is that using hikmah and wisdom and patience and repelling the thing with the best way? That if you and I believe that we have differences with the Shia, as we do, and that we have even irreconcilable differences with the Shia, as we do, but what is the Sunnah way of dealing with the Shia? Is it this? Where potentially it can lead to the incitement of hatred and violence amongst a small community of Muslims in Soweto, where there are only three masjid. And you now want to potentially cause a conflict and even a physical conflict between the Muslim community of Soweto. Can this be? The rule of law is what we have in our favor in this country. It protects us and it allows us to stand for the protection of everyone. And so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue with this conversation. It is an important one for us to have. There's a lot of things happening in our community, yes, we know, but we must also talk about the existential issues. May Allah guide us continuously. May Allah confer His barakah and His blessings for another 350 years and beyond of Islam in our beautiful country. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.